Chapter 11. The Accident Happens. The place Frankie had selected for the accident was half a mile after the Staveley turnoff from the main road.
"It couldn't be better," she said. "Straight down this hill, and then the road makes a sharp turn. If we let the car run down the hill, it will crash straight into the wall, and something terrible ought to happen to it."
"It should," Bobby agreed. "But someone ought to be watching at the corner."
"Quite right," said Frankie. "We don't want to involve anybody else. George can take his car down and turn it as though he were coming from the other direction. When he waves, it will show that all is clear."
"You're looking very pale, Frankie," said Bobby anxiously. "Are you all right?"
"I've got pale makeup on," explained Frankie. "Ready for the concussion."
"You'll look after yourself, won't you?" said Bobby with a sudden seriousness. "I mean, don't go and do anything foolish."
"I shall be extremely careful. I'll write a letter to my maid to bring to you when I want you to come down."
"I'll get busy with the moustache. See you later, Frankie."
They looked at each other for a moment, and then Frankie nodded and walked down the hill. George had turned the car. A handkerchief waved at the corner. Bobby leaned into the car and released the brake. The car moved forward, the engine started. Then the car went on down the hill and crashed into the wall. Bobby saw Frankie get into the wreckage. With a sigh, he got on his motorcycle and rode away in the direction of London. At the scene of the accident, things were busy.
"Shall I roll about a bit?" asked Frankie, "to get myself dusty?"
"You might as well," said George. "No, lie still. I heard a bicycle bell."
Sure enough, at that moment, a boy of about 17 came whistling round the corner. He stopped at once, delighted with the sight that met his eyes.
"Oh," he said, "has there been an accident?"
"No," said George sarcastically. "The young lady ran her car into the wall on purpose."
"Looks bad, doesn't it?" the boy said happily. "Is she dead?"
"Not yet," said George. "She must be taken somewhere at once. I'm a doctor. What's this place in here?"
"Merriway Court. It belongs to Mr. Bassington French."
"She must be carried there at once," said George authoritatively.
Between them, they carried Frankie up the drive to a pleasant manor house. An elderly butler came out to meet them.
"There's been an accident," said George curtly. "Is there a room I can carry this lady into?"
A woman appeared. She was tall, with red hair, and was about 30 years of age. Her eyes were a light clear blue. "There is a spare bedroom on the ground floor," she said in a cool voice with a slight American accent. "Will you bring her in there? Ought I to telephone for a doctor?"
"I am a doctor," explained George. "I was passing and saw the accident."
"Oh, how fortunate. Come this way, will you?" She showed them into a pleasant bedroom with windows onto the garden. "Is she badly hurt?" she inquired.
"I can't tell yet."
Mrs. Bassington French took the hint and left the room. George studied his watch and finally said with relief,
"Time."
"George, darling," said Frankie, "you've been an angel."
George went in search of Mrs. Bassington French, whom he found in the drawing room.
"Well," he said, "she has very slight concussion, but she ought to stay quietly where she is for a day or so."
He paused.
"She seems to be a Lady Frances Derwent."
"Oh," said Mrs. Bassington French, "I know some cousins of hers, the Draycotts, quite well."
"I don't know if it's inconvenient for you to have her here," said George, "but if she could stay..."
"Oh,
of course, that will be all right, Dr. Arbuthnot. By the way, I'll be passing a garage. I'll get them to see to her car. Thank you very much, Dr. Arbuthnot. How very lucky you happen to be passing. I suppose a doctor ought to see her tomorrow, just to see she's getting on all right.
Oh, I don't think it's necessary, said George. All she needs is quiet. You can take my word for it.
If you really think so, Dr. Arbuthnot, said Mrs. Bassington French.